This episode of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. If you've not yet been to MinuteWithMary.com, it's my one-stop shop for beauty needs. Yes, me, this like totally nerdy podcaster. I love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup and skincare. You can search the hashtag MinuteWithMary online, see kind of the things that I do. But the past couple of months, we've been talking about how since you are such a beloved listener of This Is Us, we want to give back to you. So I'm able to give you a super duper secret sale on some of my favorite items. The past 2 months, I've talked about my 40 Epic Mascara. It has been viral, guys. This product is taken off like hotcakes. I don't know if that's a saying anymore, but it is. But here's a question. How do you remove your makeup? You know, are you a hot mess express? I know I sure am. I just need that makeup to come off quick because I want to go to sleep at night. Do you want to go to sleep at night? Do you not want to rub your face? Well, I have a new product as of November. It is my cleansing stick. This is going to take your makeup off smooth like butter, okay? Make sure you don't have to rub your face, get any more wrinkles, make you look twice as old as you are. You're not going to be like a character on This Is Us. Promise you.
Smooth like butter.
Smooth like butter. 15% off just for you. MinuteWithMary.com/discount is the website to get in on the action.
I'm sorry. All right, I will listen better and lecture less. Okay? You are going to be a very important man, Randall. And a lot of important relationships happen on a golf course. Me, I hit a ceiling. But for you, there is only sky. So don't get caught on the outside looking in.
Sometimes you'll have to play up to the competition, and sometimes you'll have to play down to it, but play the game.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hi, everybody. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I just, for those of you listening along, as these episodes come out, you know, of course, if you're binging this later on, it doesn't really matter to you. But for those of you who are listening with us as these things happen, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, and I want to say I'm sorry, because this episode has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
If you're binging this, like I said, later on, just know that we waited like 2 weeks in order to get, get this one completed. We're actually doubling up our episodes tonight.
Well, truth be told, last week was Halloween.
Yes.
And on Wednesday night, which is the night that Blake and I have a sitter so we can podcast without staying up until midnight, I had a concert. I had a Halloween concert. For those of you who don't know, I'm a saxophone player. So I had a concert that I had to attend, and then it was Halloween, and then it was the Halloween hangover, and then it was daylight savings time. For those of you who don't have young kids, you don't know the wrath of the weekend that we just had, but let me tell you, it was like,
it was basically Guantanamo in our house.
Yes. So after some children's melatonin and the babysitter, we are back in action, and we are going to be doing a whopping 2 episodes in one night. To top things off, just so you know, we haven't even watched this week's episode. We wanted to keep as virgin as possible when
it comes
to our hot takes. So even though last night was Tuesday and it aired the newest episode, we haven't watched it for a variety of reasons, but we haven't watched it yet, and we are going to be talking about The Club.
So, Mary, it's time for your story on this one. If you don't have one, that's okay. I do. But if you got one, technically this is yours.
I mean, I can't really relate to this one.
Oh,
aside
yes, you
from
can.
Like, I can.
You absolutely
can. Give me
can.
A hint.
Not for golf.
Okay.
But for the other stuff that was going on.
Give me a sentence that would help charge my memory. Once again, I'm sleep deprived this week.
Going away with... Well, it's really my story.
Then go for it,
okay,
babe.
Okay, fine.
Go
so,
for it.
Kate and Toby, Toby go, and Toby has this idea that they're going to revitalize their sex life.
Okay.
After having a baby.
Yes.
And it's actually a great idea in theory. I actually quite like it. And there, you know, there was this one point in Mary and I's life when we had our children. It was our first time. Mary had Felicity, and Mary and I went away to, it was Mystic, Connecticut. And it was the first time Mary and I had gone away from our children, like, together. And we were leaving for, like, 2 days, mm-hmm. whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. But we went to Mystic, Connecticut, and I didn't think it was going to be like this, you know, like this sexcapade trip or anything. But I just felt like it was going to be a trip where we could reconnect yep. and be us and say, wow, we're finally away from our children. Mm-hmm. Let's enjoy each other and let's just have fun. And, you know, and if some more fun comes out of that, then more fun happens. But, you know, I just had this idea, like, this is what I want to do. I just want to be with my wife, and I want us to be intimate.
You're welcome, Blake.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hootie and the Blowfish always makes me feel randy. I'll tell you that. Love me some Hootie. Not. So there was this one time that we went to Mystic, Connecticut, and I thought that, you know, it was going to be this thing. And, you know, there was this time where I was like, hey, so Mary, What are we doing here?
And see, I'm singing Another One Bites the Dust because yeah, this is foretelling of what happened.
And Mary's like, basically said, yeah, not even if you paid me in gold, essentially. And she's like, what do you think that this is? You think that, you know, there has to be more. And at the time, I really specifically was going through a lot of emotional stuff.
Blake was in a dark place of life.
And, of course, this didn't help, but
Blake's in a dark place of life, I'm in a alpha male place of life where I'm like, I'm fixing things, no sexual, I'm a robot,
right.
Must take care of family.
And, you know,
people are going to know way too much about us, but continue.
That's true. And listen, I got it at the time. I mean, I didn't get it at the time, but looking back, I get it. And I remember being, like, really hurt and
I was
being
like,
really
can
upset.
We just be, like, can we actually, like, you know, connect in more than just that way, and because we haven't connected.
We actually podcasted while we were there. Remember we brought the mobile podcast unit?
I forgot.
I think we podcasted about Outlander at that time.
We did, like, from that bed. And then we ate copious amounts of ice cream.
That's true. That's true. We had a whole bathroom set up. I thought, like, it was going to be candles and
when fat kids have a romantic adventure.
I know, and
it's
ice cream.
Let's sit in the bed and eat ice cream.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened between us.
So, yeah, and actually, I mark it as a time. I still have the card that got us into the room because I remember thinking, this is going to be the reminder to me of when things were not great.
Oof.
But it was the turning point. It was the moment where I decided I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm not going to. I don't want to be that depressed, or I don't want to be that type of person anymore. I want to move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep that card in my wallet so that anytime I get really upset or down or depressed, I look back on it and I say, no, this is when I made my choice. And so, yeah, there you go. That's it. That's how Mary and I relate to this story. It was sexcapade gone wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Sexcapade gone wrong.
You're welcome. Okay, so there we go. That's our story. And we want to remind you all that we would love to connect with you, especially when we go offline because it's the Halloween hangover. Feel free to reach out to us on social media. You can search Mary and Blake. Plus, you could check out all of our episodes for the other podcasts that we do. You could find us also on YouTube, on Instagram. Blake keeps up with that feed.
Graham's happening, baby.
Yeah, or at maryandblake.com.
All right, so let's get into the details for this one. What do you think about that?
Oh, please.
The episode title was obviously called The Club.
Mm-hmm.
It refers, I think, to a lot of different things in this episode.
I know. It's so smart.
Of course, it's about the golf club, the wedge that Randall was using.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the club that they went to. And it's a club that Jack is potentially going to join, although he turns it down. It's a club that Randall is trying to join with all the other guys. And You know, the club could refer to the relationship club between Kevin and Cassidy.
Yeah.
There's a whole litany of different meanings here, all multifaceted, and I thought it was a very clever title.
It truly is.
The director was Jessica Yu, and she is actually a seasoned television director doing episodes of ER, Parenthood, Scandal, Castle, the show I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, The Affair, and one of my favorite shows of all time, Billions. Oh, Billions.
Oh, you were loving.
Oh, Billions is right up there with Succession right now. Oh, my God. And then she also just directed the pilot of that show, Bluff City Law, on NBC.
Never heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, so it's, not great, Bob. The writer was Kevin Falls, who has written a couple of episodes of This Is Us, including Songbird Road Part 1 and 6 Thanksgivings.
Okay.
So that is that. Marvin, what do you got for your Lemonade rating?
A 4.5.
Really?
Yep.
I am shocked.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
I'll let you know in my bed. There you go. Leaving it at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we call that a professional tease.
You're welcome.
For me, it's a 4.6. I'm actually higher than you on this one.
Are pigs flying?
I cannot believe that.
Has hell frozen over?
Seriously, like, wow. Holy smokes. What the heck happened there? All right, so I got a 4.6. You, my love, got a 4.5, which is a record beater. I don't know how the hell that happened. But anyway, what do you got for your GBG, my darling?
Okay, so to kick things off, just creeping on my ex is my good.
Totally agree.
I loved it because, it's just so real. Like, it's what people do. We're all, like, just creepers on the internet, and we expect everyone to know what that means. And then you come across someone who probably doesn't even have a Facebook page. Like, I highly doubt Nikki even has a Facebook page.
Right? Yeah, no chance.
No IG. Doesn't even know what this language is. And I just loved that conversation of Kevin explaining it to Nikki. It reminded me of when I used to tell my mom where the play button was every single weekend on the VCR. My bad.
Yep, what do you got?
Was just simply that the internet was ruining my life because it ruined my experience of this episode. And this is why it got a 4.5.
Explain a little bit further.
Okay, so Blake and I don't really like have cable, but we have an Apple TV, and we use someone else's login for NBC because this is like the only show we watch on NBC. I'll be real with you. Even when it comes to the Thanksgiving parade, I go on YouTube and I watch last year's Thanksgiving Day parade because there's some genius out there who cuts out all the commercials, which saves my sanity and my pocketbook when it comes to Christmas time for my kids. Anyway, so we watch NBC off of the NBC app, and the NBC app was crazy, it was our internet that was crazy last week. And you want to know what it skipped? All like the important parts of the episode. So
buffers.
Yeah, it just kind of like stops and buffers, and then we missed like 2 minutes. So we missed all of it. Like, Randall was not having fun on the golf course, and then all of a sudden he's in the golf cart with the councilman. And I was like, how the heck did that happen? And so we missed little bits and pieces. And then Blake and I were trying to podcast about this episode earlier this week, and he was like, yeah, wasn't it crazy how Randall actually was good at golf? And I said, no, he wasn't. Randall was terrible at golf. The whole episode was about how terrible he was. And Blake realized that it was buffering during that time, and I hadn't been able to actually watch the entire episode the whole way through. So our internet decided to buffer on like key points of the episode. I'm pretty sure we missed the fact that Kate and Toby did get to have sex.
Yeah, we
missed that.
Definitely missed that.
So they just, like, in my first version of this episode viewing, Kate and Toby never had sex. Randall totally stinks at golf. That's my bad. It has nothing to do with the actual episode. It has everything to do with internet. And when Blake and I tried to podcast about this episode, I lost my ish. And I said, I can't. What do you mean he's good at golf? I can't handle this internet. And Blake immediately went out to Best Buy and fixed the internet the next day.
Yes, I did.
Because I was
did.
Like, that's it. I was like flipping tables. I was like Teresa from The Housewives in New Jersey.
In my defense, we had a cheap way to get internet upstairs. Our internet comes
into us. Can't tell we're cheap. We just said we steal NBC, which is a free station. It's a free station.
Our studio is downstairs in our basement, and I want the highest quality internet connection for our studio. So I got to find a way for all the internet to go upstairs into our house. So I went out and bought the expensive stuff, and we made it work. Okay, what do you got for your grade?
Okay. my great is that I got to get the knowledge that Randall's great at everything.
He's great at everything.
Not really. Okay, but he's great at playing the game, simply put.
Yes.
Take it how you may.
Okay.
But I'm just happy that I was able to see that last minute of him actually practicing golf. That was my great. It was like the light switch went on. And I was like, this whole episode makes sense.
I get it.
I know
now.
That I just did nothing like revolutionary to everyone listening. They're like, Mary, those are the stupid GBGs ever. But I don't care. Those are my honest truths. Blake will now get deep.
No, it is what it is. All right, for me, I got it. For the good, I got a tie, okay? The first, it's the score during the final moments of the show and Jack's speech plus like the golf reveal. It is the end theme to This Is Us, but it's slowed down in an acoustic version.
Oh, yeah.
When that happened, it just felt right. It everything tied together. Randall looking off into the distance, putting the golf ball in the water. This is for you, Pops. Like the whole thing, it all gelled together for me because of the score that was put together by Siddhartha Khosla. Like it was incredible. Another thing here that's good for me is essentially what we're getting this season is a buddy comedy between Nikki and Kevin. And you already made light of it, my love, which is the whole thing of like, he doesn't even know what Facebook is, and he's creeping on his ex, and that great line of, what does that even mean?
Yes. I love it. I absolutely love it.
The dynamic between these two, between these two characters, and I said it actually as we were watching it in between buffering points, was this is the best.
Don't remind me.
This is the best part of the whole season so far for me. These two together, the dynamic between the
two.
We
actually missed that part too.
No, we got it. We watched
part.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, we watched it. This was the best part of the whole season so far between these two, the dynamic between the two, and what that all means for each other, how they give something to each other that they don't have
already. You know what I'm not ready for? Nikki to die.
No, that's going to be bad news.
Oh, wait, isn't Nikki at the end next to Rebecca?
Yes.
Okay, we're clear.
Yeah, we're good for a little while at least.
You can hide your Charmin.
The bad for me, also a tie, Kevin and Cassidy seem to have fallen into this cliche relationship.
What do you mean cliche?
Type beginning where
they're
it's
both
like,
hankering for a hunk of ass.
Oops, absolutely.
Sorry, people with their kids in the car. Hankering for their hunk
of Heine. Hankering for a hunk of Heine.
Yeah.
You like the alliteration there? I saved you on that one.
Thank you. You didn't save me. I mean, I already said it. The damage has been done.
Well, you're
parents
right.
Are shaking their fists. Mary, I thought you were clean.
Damn you, Mary Larson.
You can't say that word either.
So, yes, it's this kind of how they've just been with each other, how they've how it's all come together. It just feels like I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were setting us up for something that we hadn't yet seen between these two. And it's fall. You know how like on X-Files it was the monster of the week?
Sure.
For This Is Us, it feels like it's girlfriend of the season for Kevin. And
listen, do you know single people our age?
Not really.
Okay. So as someone who has several single friends at our age, they have boyfriend or girlfriends of the season.
No, all right. Fair enough. And then also another bad is that they did this last week with Jack in the hot sauce, and they're doing it now with Randall in the golf. They're retconning this in.
Yeah.
They're retconning it in, and it's not like bad. It's not overly like I'm just gonna freak out about the show because it's giving me something that it has never alluded to before and it's ruining my experience.
At least that we don't think. Like, I've never seen the Pearson household in the teenage years with like a golf clubs in the hallway.
No, and to my knowledge, Randall has never mentioned golf before.
Yeah, like he didn't put it on his college transcript that we were listening to.
Right. And there's never been like a scene where he's at the golf course. He's coming home with clubs or anything. Like And that's obviously for the reveal at the end, right? It's for the reveal that, oh, he's actually really good and he just played the game. But they're retconning it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's just something that it's one of those things. If you're paying attention to the characters and what they do, who they are, that just hasn't been a part of Randall's life.
Agreed.
At all.
And because this show does work this way, where we know so much about Randall's past,
it's kind of like, okay, well, you're almost selling me a bill
of
goods.
Like, we know
here.
The weird pizza that you eat, but right. We didn't know you played golf. Like,
and we didn't know that you practiced left and right, and we didn't know that you were that good. And,
yeah.
And it's not like...
Wait, he practiced left and right?
Yeah, like he was constantly practicing, like even as he grew up as a teenager.
He switched hands?
No.
Oh, he practiced frequently. I'm like, he's ambidextrous too as of this episode? I thought you were meaning that if we're buffered, he would like stand and swing from the right and then move over, stand and swing from the left like Jacoby Ellsbury.
You know what, Mary?
You're welcome. You're welcome, friends. What? Makes me wanna shout. Ambidextrous.
Oh, man, that was great stuff. Okay, and the great for me, also a tie, it relates to the golf. Even though they retconned it in, they took this conceit of golf and layered it through each of the timelines. And they're tying each of the characters to this game of golf. And it's not the game itself, it's what the game represents for each of the characters. And how that influences eventually the next part of my great, which is the councilman storyline. I'm in on the councilman storyline now.
Because hell hath frozen over.
Because of what the golf did for it and what the councilman story is doing to Randall the character. Character should always dictate the plot, not the other way around.
Okay.
And
this councilman did.
The councilman thing is just a byproduct of character of Randall the character.
Mm-hmm.
What happens here is part of who Randall is, not what he is doing. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I always go back to Halt and Catch Fire. It's not the thing, it's the thing that gets us to the thing.
I almost said that phrase to my Team Magic Minute with Mary
team. Oh, really?
And I was like, no one else will get this reference unless they've watched Halt and Catch Fire. And I don't know how many of my, I mean.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, it's
the
it's
thing
still...
that gets you to the thing. Like, yeah. That's it. I was like, I was going to say that. And then I realized, I don't know if everyone's going to get that. I mean, you might.
By the way, recommendation from Mary and Blake, go watch
Seriously,
Halt and Catch Fire.
So good.
It's the best show that you've never seen. I
Agreed.
Promise you, it's on Netflix, all four seasons.
Agreed.
Lee Pace, Mackenzie Davis. Just go watch it. It'll change your life. Okay. You ready for the big three feedback, my love?
Yes.
Let's do it.
And we said...
That's three.
Big three?
Big three!
Okay. Eileen Marie gives it 4.2 lemons. I'm so conflicted with this episode. I wonder if she had internet problems. I feel like I have more of a good, bad, okay list this week since nothing really wowed me at all. The good Randall downplaying his golfing to play his opponent. Oh, looks like Eileen did have fine internet. She got to see that part. Based on the advice from his dad, that final scene where he hit the ball in the water. So many emotions, but that was basically the only good for me, says Eileen. Eileen's bad. Oh, no. Oh, no. Ready?
Yeah.
Her bad is Kevin.
Shame.
Eileen. Eileen's on a different train than us. Tell us more, Eileen. She says, I am so out on this, in caps with periods in between, guys.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Eileen is so out on this. She says, I get it. The chemistry is there. Oh, she's talking about the, you know...
Yeah.
Get it done. Mm-hmm. A hiney. I actually like...
Hankering for a hunk of hiney.
I thought she was going to say the Kevin Nikki thing, and I was like, Eileen, what happened? Okay, so she's not down with the hiney. All right. I actually like Cassidy as a character, and people hook up all the time. That's fine. But you just said you'd help her get back with her husband. I'm agreeing with this, Eileen. And... you shouldn't start a new relationship in their first year of AA. They were clearly both emotionally vulnerable at the point, but I don't want the both of them to focus on them. Oh, but I want the both of them to focus on themselves. If they were going to explore this relationship, I wish they would have waited to build a really solid friendship foundation for them and have it happen more naturally. This feels so forced and cliche at this point. I'm going to touch upon this point later, Eileen, because I've got some ideas for that.
Okay.
And Eileen's okay was Jack and his father-in-law at the golf club, but specifically seeing him drink. I thought it was interesting that they introduced what might potentially be his early struggle with alcoholism, but I feel like Jack was more level-headed than that to get drunk in front of Rebecca's father.
Listen, I'm not an alcoholic, but I've been there for the few times that I've golfed, and it's hot, and all you're doing is just, you're at the cot lady, and yes. you go to the cot lady, you're like, just give me a beer.
Yes.
And it's hot, you're walking, you're sweating, you're golfing, you're talking. All of a sudden, two beers in, normally that you feel like you're okay, two beers in, and you're hammered because you're just dehydrated, and you're stumbling around. So I've been there. It sucks. I've been there. All right, we got an email from Barbara, and I absolutely have to share this one, just because I read this to Mary the other day, and it made us both laugh hysterically. So Barbara says, I couldn't help but laugh when Blake said, everyone knows who Uncle Jesse is. Mm-hmm. I literally said out loud, well, apparently not everyone, and laughed to myself as I tried to figure out who the hell Uncle Jesse was. My first thought was whether or not he was on the Beverly Hillbillies. Was there an Uncle Jesse? It nagged at the back of my mind as I continued to listen to the podcast. Then suddenly, about a half hour later, I vaguely remembered an Uncle Jesse on Full House. Although I'll admit that if this question was on Jeopardy, I wouldn't have been certain of my answer. So I'd consider it a guess. So,
but you know what she would have gotten right?
What?
Rudiments.
Absolutely.
You're welcome, Barbara.
And cud. So... count me as questionable. My second big laugh came when Blake announced that they were 1/3 of the way through This Is Us being episode 4 out of 18. I was happy to hear Mary make that correction. And just for the record, math is important in life. Perhaps not in this podcast, but sometimes I get confused by the timelines that are mentioned because they just don't seem to add up. Just keep in mind that some of us are paying attention.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and Rachel, who is sadly still on Facebook as Bustamante, but we know she's Dido, right? Hopefully I'm saying your new last name right. She's having issues. Facebook won't let her change her name.
Wow.
It's not believing her. And she's like, I'm married. Let me change my name.
Come on, Zuck. Get it together.
Come on, Zuckerman. Well, anyway, Rachel says...
Zuckerberg, not Zuckerman.
Who's Zuckerman?
It's a character. Zuckerman is the character from...
I had a student with that last name. I bet that's what it is.
It was...
He was tough for me.
Oh, I'm gonna.
His pubescent voice had like one note range. It was a very difficult job as a middle school choral director, guys. Anyway, Rachel says, I'm going to give this episode 4-something lemonades. I know that's not very descriptive, but let me explain. There were some scenes that were 4.8 and 4.9 for me. Jack telling the dad he's marrying Rebecca, Kate and Toby reconnecting, and then some were like 3.6, Kevin's date with that rando, and that scene with Kevin and Cassidy was a 2.0 for Rachel. She says, I was really hoping that they wouldn't go that direction for these two so soon. They are not supposed to get involved in relationship in their first year of AA. Kevin literally said that to himself. Hashtag eye roll. Rachel's good for the episode was Kate and Toby trying hard to reconnect. Oh, Blake's figuring out who Zuckerman was.
It's the guy, the farmer from Charlotte's Web.
Which totally makes sense. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, right? Oh, I've been reading that. We have the audiobook. Oh my.
You watched the movie.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, sorry.
It's Mr.
With Fern.
It's Mr. Zuckerman's farm.
That's it.
That'll do, pig.
No, it's not that'll do. You're mixing it up with Babe.
Oh,
this is
whatever.
Some pig. Not that'll do, pig.
Whatever.
Some pig. Terrific. Radiant. God, what's the other one? Humble.
Whatever. I don't
freaking
care.
Charlotte saving the day, and then she dies.
Oh.
That's a 4-point zip.
It was the first movie I daughter cried to. Charlotte died.
Our own pet died and she didn't have
she
a tear.
Like laughed.
But some CGI spider dies and she loses it.
Julia Roberts, she'll do it to you, man.
Oh my gosh.
That's
okay.
Big
anyway,
mistake.
Let's,
huge.
Let's get back to Rachel. Now that we know who Zuckerman is. Sorry, Rachel. Oh my goodness. Rachel's good was the episode for Kate and Toby trying so hard to reconnect. It was such a real moment that I'm sure many new parents can relate to. I loved Toby's messy top knot. Oh, Kate's. Toby's bald. She loved Kate's messy top knot bun in the beginning of the episode and thought it was so sweet that she cut up the wrong pants to prove to Tobes that she believed in him. I have no idea what's coming for their marriage, but Chris Sullivan has said that they aren't married by the time the, quote, her episode begins.
Yep, and that's a loaded statement,
yes.
By the way, because she may be dead. That's why they ain't married.
So now we've got another ticking time bomb, just like Jack's death. Rachel's bad for the episode was Kevin and friggin' Cassidy. She's so disappointed, she says. That moment moment was so predictable that I was sure they would have kept their kiss and hook up until at least a year of them being in AA. They could have had a really cool friendship foundation for a super solid relationship. Hashtag
shame.
Where's the shame bell?
Sorry, here you go.
Rachel knows. She knows.
Shame.
There you go, girl. And her great for the episode was all the golfing scenes. Rachel's not even a big fan of golf, but she loved, loved, loved that Randall was naturally good at something other than books. And to see his big smile at each age was so special. I love when Randall gets a moment of belonging. He always seems so in between of where he belongs. Also love Jack's conversation with Randall about playing the game and playing to your opponent and how it parallels with Randall as the councilman. You know what was really interesting as I finally got to see those scenes?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if all three Randalls got to be on the golf course the same day. Like, they probably just use the same golf course.
Oh, meaning, okay, all right.
And I wonder, like, if they all just, like, went and got, like, Shirley Temples and grilled cheeses at the restaurant together and was like, so.
At the 19th hole?
How does Randall sneeze? Like, what should we all do? Like, so that we're all still in sync. You know what I mean? As the actors are doing such a great job.
Yeah.
And it's really neat to see that each Randall was at a golf course. They probably could have filmed it at the same golf course, just different locations. And I wonder if they went out for sandwiches.
Who wouldn't want sandwiches?
Princess Anna loves them.
You know, the thing I noticed, too, about Randall, like older Randall, is that his form is perfect. Like, it is literally Tiger Woods-esque perfect. I couldn't believe how great his actual golf swing form really was. I'm not a huge golfer, but you looked at it and it was awesome. So I always thought that the theme for this episode is that connection to humans happen on many different levels. In a different fashions.
That'll do, Pig.
Would you agree with that?
So wrong.
Would you agree with that?
Connections happen on so many different levels.
Yeah, connections happen on many different levels, like in many different ways. And
I mean, that's kind of an elementary statement for the show This Is Us, but explain so I can hopefully...
Well, we have Kevin and Cassidy who are connecting their own way. They're connecting on a physical relationship way. They're connecting now in a way that they're friends, but slightly more than friends. And they're, again, it's the idea of what these relationships are bringing to the show and to each character. Each character has something that they're connecting to another character that other character does not have. And they're helping each other grow into something else. It's like the most basic form I could ever think of is the show The Odd Couple. Do you remember The Odd Couple?
No, I've only seen the parody of it with Harry Potter, a Harry Potter musical. Sorry, the Harry Potter musical.
Oh.
When it's Voldemort and Quirrell and they're mimicking the Odd Couple, I guess.
Oh,
I've never actually seen the Odd Couple,
You're
but
a
I've
wizard,
seen
Harry.
The stage musical version.
Oh my God. All right, so the Odd Couple.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, I can't believe this. So basically, it's basically you and I, my love. It's this person who is very clean and very neat and like
you are not clean. You're cleaner
I'm
and
neat.
Neater than me.
I'm much neater than you. Like, it's,
but you are
I'm,
not clean
in comparison.
Neat.
In comparison to you,
your side of the room is just as messy as mine.
I wholeheartedly disagree. But fine, it's someone who's very clean, very neat, very uptight, very like everything has to be in its place and perfect. And then it's the other guy that is living with him at the same time. He's messy and vulgar, and he's just a disaster. And anyway, so that is what is happening. And it's happening with Kevin and Nikki. It's happening with Jack and Randall. It's happening with Randall and the other councilman. All of these guys are relating to each other on different levels, and they're all finding a way to connect in different manners. Mm-hmm. And Jack is struggling to connect with Randall because he is using his old, well, you're my son. All I see is my son. But Randall's getting older now. And Randall is becoming more, as a kid and as a character, he's becoming more textured.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you may not see color, Dad, but that doesn't mean you see me.
Yes.
Right? And again, it's the buddy comedy thing with Kevin and Nikki. One's older, one's younger, one is hip and rich, the other is old and poor.
Eating sandwiches.
And by the way,
sandwiches are going to be a big deal.
By the way,
just kidding.
When Nikki is the one that is the voice of reason in your relationship, saying, "Yeah, you know, we probably should have gone on that hike," You got some bad news happening. Do you think that he knew that Cassidy was in the room and that he knows that Kevin being with Cassidy is the wrong thing?
No, I just think he would have liked some fresh air. I think that, you know, he knows that Kevin could probably use some fresh air. Who knows? I don't think he knows that they had some one buck chuck.
You don't think so?
One buck schmush. One time schmush. A little. What are we going to call this? Because there are children listening. I've already ruined their lives.
A one night stand?
But it wasn't even nighttime.
Oh, yeah. It was during the day. But, yeah, I don't know. He went in at night. He was there making sandwiches at night.
I don't even know.
One day stand. No, one buck schmuck. Whatever. Is that what you called it?
That, well, at Trader Joe's, you can get a $1 wine, I guess. You can't in Rhode Island.
Two buck chuck.
We don't have this. For those of you who live in other states, Rhode Island is weird. We can't have alcohol unless it's at an alcohol store. Call it a package store. And we all call it the Packy. Anyway, perfect discussion during these alcoholic anonymous people. Speaking of which, are you still talking
about go ahead. Go ahead. What do you
the
got?
Odd Couple.
No, I'm here.
Everybody's hating on this Kevin Cassidy situation.
Uh-huh.
And I am okay with it.
How so?
Because I think it's real. These are two horny individuals who haven't gotten laid in Lord knows how long.
So you're okay with it?
I'm just saying it's realistic. I'm not saying it was a wise choice, but these people obviously are in nice physical condition. Okay.
They're good looking.
They're good looking. They've spent some time together.
She's Emma Swan.
Like, seriously, and he's the Manny. Let's stop and just reevaluate the situation. He just got all hyped up because Rando, as Rachel pointed out, was like, there's nothing to do here except bada bing, bada boom. So you know what his little pecker was saying. It's time to bada bing, bada boom.
Becca.
And he goes, and he's alert and ready to go. Rando leaves. Yeah, so I'm talking about. Rando leaves, and, you know, we've got Cassidy there. And she's ready to have some little pecker time, too. Okay?
That's what she said.
Once again, yes, are they both in AA? Yes, do they know they shouldn't do this? How many of you have done a little something because you were horny and you probably shouldn't have done it? Raising my hand.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring this up in the way that you do bring it up. Because there was a great article on Entertainment Weekly from Dan Sneerson, who is great. Go read him all the time. He actually talks to Elizabeth Berger and Isaac Aptaker about this situation. And Elizabeth Berger says, you know, there's this moment when they kiss and it the last interaction with Ryan was a disaster. And here comes this handsome movie star saying all the right things, including that she is trying her best. And Elizabeth Berger says, yeah, that's what's going through Cassidy's head. It's just a super vulnerable moment. And Kevin is standing in front of her being incredibly kind to her. And it's just one of those moments where life gets away from you and you do the thing that you know you shouldn't do, but will feel good momentarily.
Guys, I've done that.
And now
you've all done it.
That we're going to have to deal with this and deal with the aftermath. And she even says, I think when you tell someone that you're going to help them fix their marriage instead you sleep with them, you feel like things went off the rails a bit. Basically, Kevin is the world's worst relationship counselor of all time. But Elizabeth Berger, who again is one of the co-showrunners, says, so we're going to see Kevin beating himself up a bit for the way this kind of got away from him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Listen,
absolutely.
Okay. Maybe for once in my life I did something I shouldn't have done that Blake hasn't done. I've done this where I'm like, oh, wow, that was a choice we made. That was a choice we made. We're friends, and that was a choice that we made, and we're just not gonna do that.
We're gonna pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know.
I know you don't. So that's why I'm being very carefully awkward. But that's why I'm saying, like, you're looking at me like you've never done this. And I find that very hard to believe. But sure.
I don't want to know. Now I got things running through my brain.
No,
thank you so much.
Nobody you know. Nobody we're still friends with. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Okay, fine. Fine.
Okay, you feel good about that?
Yes, I do. I feel better about it.
Good. But I'm just saying, if anyone else knows that you've done this, even if you know it's not the best idea, especially if you're hyped up.
And Isaac Aptaker even goes a little bit further in this, and he says, Kevin has a bit of a self-destructive streak. If it's not drinking, it's other reckless, questionable behavior. And I think that this is another example of his impulsivity getting the better of him. Yes, he wants to do the right thing, which is why he's settled down in the town and is spending all the time with his uncle. But at the same time, he's a recovering addict in a small town with nothing to do and watching his ex move on with another man. So, yes, I totally understand.
Like, so I'm not, like, I appreciate the bad in the sense that, like, oh, no, man, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Like, exactly. We know Kevin's going to beat himself up for this. We know that this is going to be a very interesting direction that this goes. They're not going to live happily ever after next episode.
Right, right. And one of the things that keeps popping up, and they did such a great job, like, they remember it was, like, drinking from a fire hose with how famous Kevin is? And now all of a sudden he is talking with this other random smoothie gym girl, and the smoothie gym girl doesn't even realize that he's really that famous. Like, she doesn't even say anything about it. She's not like, oh my God, you're the Manny. Like,
well, let's sit back. Who watches the Manny?
Yeah, but he's Uncle Jesse. That's no. What he is. He's Uncle Jesse.
Biddies watch the Manny. All the, like, old biddies in the show have loved him.
I don't know. He's Uncle Jesse.
How much?
Everybody loved Uncle Jesse. Everybody did.
People, like, knew who
except
he was.
Except for Bob. Barbara didn't know who Uncle Jesse was. I think she's the only person on the planet that didn't know who Uncle Jesse is.
I'm just thinking that the millennial generation, because that girl was young. She was like, see, Kevin's a zennial, like myself.
Yes, yes.
She was a millennial. I don't think the millennials watched.
Fair enough.
Full House.
Fair enough. Fair enough. One thing that the show did, and I can't wait to get your opinion on this, is Jack. And how they handled the Jack relationship with young Randall. And Jack isn't always perfect. And he doesn't have... He even makes a mistake and admits to it. I'm going to listen more and lecture less. And then proceeds to give a lecture. But he makes the wrong move with Randall. And says something that probably isn't the right thing. They've deconstructed this character quite a bit over the past number of seasons, especially in season 3.
Deconstructed the
Jack.
Jack? Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, because we built up Saintly Jack. We talked about that all season 1, right? That,
yes.
That Jack was like a saint. And season 2, they kind of went with it. And in season 3, they really broke it down that he was definitely not. How did you feel about this and the whole interaction with Randall? As a young kid.
It was an odd choice for a foil of mm-hmm. the two sides that we got to see of Jack. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, seeing Jack hold in feelings and go downhill and get drunk at this event and, you know, but then he does kind of, you know, it was very interesting because he does, he uses that experience to try to relate to Randall. So I know that
sure.
It was important, but it was a multifaceted Jack episode, and I think that's what you're getting at, is
yes.
That it wasn't like perfect Jack parent. It was Jack the parent kind of doesn't get things proper in his wording or in, you know, understanding the situation that's going on, but then also like sprinkling in, yeah, this was Jack too.
Sure, absolutely. And it's great, Tim Matheson going full villain again, just full villain, debating Jack. Telling him, yeah, there's the guy that I wanted to see. And of course, Jack's biting it. He's giving in to it. And maybe we're going to throw some blows. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But Tim Matheson and having this antagonistic relationship with Jack is freaking awesome.
I'm so glad you enjoy it.
I do.
I know.
This is for the TV. It's not real. I know we have this relationship in real life, but for TV, it
I
works.
I do. You don't. I do.
Oh, no, I agree that you do. I understand. You definitely do. But in terms of TV drama.
Yeah, as Kevin was swigging back, I was like, that's me on Christmas.
Another thing that the show actually recognizes is sorry, the fact that they never went to the dojo. They never went back. They went a couple of times and like. Rebecca remembers it differently than Jack. And that's one of those things as parents, like I think you talk about and you like, why did we not end up doing this? And it was one of those things that the show just stopped doing, but then they turned it into a plot point. Isn't that really cool?
Yeah.
Like they use that for the characters themselves.
Yeah.
and how that may even play into the jealousy that Jack has for Mr. Lawrence, the new teacher. How you feeling about the new teacher? Are you in on the new teacher? Or are you out on the new teacher?
I'm in.
What about him gives you the in feelings?
I mean, he doesn't give the creepy vibe that record store guy gave.
No, absolutely not.
I feel like I haven't seen Randall, young Randall, be this happy in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving that. I don't know. I think that, you know, it's very important for Randall to have more just strong men in his life, and especially strong, you know, black men in his life. So I'm happy. I'm loving this guy so far.
Yep. Yep, and I love that there was that little moment, that little teeny tiny like pause when Jack says, "Oh yeah, I'm Randall's father," from Mr. Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Like where he's like, "Oh, okay. Now I see what I'm dealing with here. Like I kind of get it now. Like I didn't think that you were his dad." Like again, it's one of those things that the show does so well when it comes to tackling race and how Randall is the synthesis between white and black.
Yeah.
And it defies and undermines a lot of the expectations that each character has on either side.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I think it's great. And how about young Randall waking up well before 6 a.m. to go to school? I feel like that's an absolute Mary Larson move.
I used to be the first kid at the dining hall. No joke.
God.
In college, my entire freshman year, I would wake up at 5. I would shower. I would gather my stuff, quietly pack my bag. Probably, actually, I'd wake up more like 5:30, and I'd go to the dining hall when it was dark, and I'd be the first kid that the little lunch lady would let in. And I'd go in and do more homework.
Oh my God!
And I liked it because it was too loud to do my homework at nighttime. Mind you, I lived in the honors dorm.
You are such
a dork. I was like, I'm
going
to sign up for the honors dorm because hopefully they won't party that much and I can study when I want to.
Nerd!
Remember, guys, I'm a music like degree person. I don't need to be like doing surgery on people. I'm a musician.
I want to practice my saxophone well.
I wouldn't practice my saxophone there. I'd practice that at the Fine Arts Building.
Oh, sorry. You just wanted to do what?
I wanted to do very well in my extra calculus class. In my class about insects.
Nerd!
In my animal veterinary science class. I literally took for my science requirements a class all about bugs. And then another class about animal veterinary science, which is why I know so much about rudiments. Because we had a cow farm. Hey, what am I
talking?
You didn't know this about me?
No.
I took calculus for fun because I'd already taken it in high school. So I took it for fun.
Oh my God, I just gave myself a cramp from laughing so hard.
Yeah, and then I took animal veterinary science.
Oh my God, you took a class about bugs.
Yeah, it was actually really cool.
Oh my God, you're such a dork. You are you're a dork.
And I have a Bachelor of Music.
Oh God, I love you so much.
So, yes, I was very much like, my parents are still disappointed. They're like, you could have been a doctor or a scientist.
Oh my God.
And you want to play your saxophone.
Oh, you could have taken classes about bugs. I don't even know how to come back from that. I don't even know how to get back to the show from that. How do we transition?
You asked me if I was like Randall waking up at 6:30 in the morning
to
school.
That's right.
And I said, yes, I was.
Oh, man, you are such a dork.
I would go to school in high school when I was already exhausted at 7 a.m. to have extra time with my teacher. I was Randall. Like, I'd be like, come on, teacher, do you want to go in early tomorrow? And she was like, what the hell? Yeah, sure, Mary.
God, no wonder why, like, young Kevin made fun of young Randall so much. He's just like walking into it. Of course he would make fun of him.
Blake and I have said it before, and we'll say it again. We would not have dated had we met earlier in life.
No chance. Zero. She would have hated me, and all I would have done is just ragged on her. It just, it never would. I would have liked her, and I would have made fun of her because I liked her. But there's no chance we would have ever gotten married or been together. It just wouldn't have happened.
Because I would be like, oh, do you want to get together for a breakfast date? And he'd be like, what's breakfast?
What the hell's
Do you mean brunch that starts at 11 when it's pancakes and sandwiches?
And hamburgers? Like, I wake up at like 10:30, so I thought that was breakfast.
No, my second breakfast.
That's your third breakfast. You're moving on to 11sies by that point.
Yes.
Speaking of weddings and getting married and everything, we had this great interaction between Jack and Dave Malone, who is Tim Matheson, talking about the weddings and do you see yourself there? And we're going to get married. She's going to get married at this golf course, and we're going to have all my friends there, and we're going to do all this stuff. And then Jack comes back and says, yeah, we're going to have a house. We're going to have kids. And let me ask you, do you see yourself there? Oh, man. How do you feel about this, about what's happening between the two? And do you feel like that this was the right choice that Jack makes? You can be truthful. Go right ahead. Let's go. Let's have it out.
Yes.
I kind of think so, too. I kind of think so, too.
Yes.
I feel like you would have done the same thing.
Yes.
So Isaac Aptaker actually ends up saying the same exact thing about this when it comes to the show, and he talks about
I have such a difficult relationship. I'm so sorry, friends. I have to be so careful. Every once in a while I worry my in-laws will listen to this podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. I doubt that they'll take the time to listen to this.
They would have stopped at Rudiments, the first mention of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Isaac Aptaker said, all of this is so interesting because we're exploring a time in the relationship between Jack and Rebecca, where this is a huge obstacle of her father. But we also know how the story ends to a certain extent. We know that they do wind up having the City Hall marriage and having this incredible family together. So the mystery is really filling in the blanks. So yeah, we're shedding light on his ideal version of his daughter's wedding when we know that's not how it ultimately turns out, which begs the question, well, how did it get so off course or on course, depending on how you're looking at it? So are you interested at all in hearing, in this part of the story for Jack and Rebecca? Do you feel like this is worthy of getting into?
Yes. Because we have cut off ties with Rebecca's family.
Yes.
You know, they are not a part. Like, I don't even know if that side of the family, grandparents, are still alive.
No, you know the mother's still alive.
At this point? Because why hasn't she met baby Jack?
Oh, at this point? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think she's probably dead and gone for baby Jack time. But in terms of...
That's what I mean, like in this day and age.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep,
so
I gotcha.
We really haven't dealt with any of that. And we didn't really get to see them aside from that awkward cranberry sauce Thanksgiving fiasco.
Right. And we didn't even see the dad. They were just on the way.
Yeah.
They were just on the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm interested.
Okay. All right. And before we have to end this episode, let's talk about it because I know we began the episode this way and I kind of want to close it out with the whole Toby and Kate thing. The Katobi relationship is, I'm not saying going down the drain, but I think it's taking the natural course of what new parents go through, which especially with a child that has some kind of handicap in whatever way a handicap would be defined. Are you in on how they're taking this relationship? Do you feel like it's realistic and do you feel like it's cliche at all?
No, I don't think it's cliche and I think it's completely realistic. And I think for people who maybe haven't had a child or haven't had a major stressor, no matter what that is, death, move, loss of job, like a sickness. Like if you haven't gone through a major upheaval of your life that has added tremendous amounts of stress, maybe physical stress, lack of sleep, you know, physical stress on your body. If you haven't gone through that together as a couple, When you finally do, it's a flippin' doozy.
Sure.
And I think that it's a doozy in so many ways, and that's, you know, Kate addresses that, like, I don't sleep and I'm covered in puke all the time, and you can tell that Toby obviously is stressed, and obviously intimacy can be affected by all that. So I think it's very, very realistic.
I totally agree. I agree about the whole thing of the physical relationship between the two, simply just because I lived it, and it's hard, and it's not just about the baby, it's about everything that goes along with mm-hmm. it too. It's the fact that you feel like you're doing more than the other person, or that person feels like they're doing more than you, and I have my own life that I have to attest to. We have our relationship to get involved with. So when Toby is trying to get himself all worked up and ready to go and he can't, it makes sense to me, because it's about the pants, and why do you take the pants?
Yep.
And why do you not believe me that I can keep this weight off? And I have all this pressure on me, and I'm trying the best that I can. And oh my God, it all just comes crashing down. And especially for someone like Toby, who is already easily susceptible to
sensitive,
depression.
Yes.
For all this to happen, I just don't see anything good coming down the road for these two, at least for the time being, just because there's just a lot. And when you already have someone who's already susceptible, they can't help but go down that road. And even though he's going to the gym and doing whatever, I don't know. I think they're doing a good job with this relationship and how they handled it. I think it was just right. All right. You got anything else about this episode, my darling?
No.
Got any, you ready for In or Out?
Yes.
All right. Let's do In or Out.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, in or out on gin? Are you in or out on gin?
In.
I'm out on gin.
Oh.
I can't stand gin. Even gin and tonic. I can't take gin and tonic.
It's my go-to drink at summertime weddings.
Mojitos are more summertime wedding for you.
Not anymore.
There's a reason for that,
we'll
ladies and gentlemen.
We'll tell that some other day.
That's another story for another day. All right, in or out on golf?
Out.
I'm kind of out on golf, too. Like, I understand the importance of it, but I'm out on golf.
I hate sweating, and I just picture if I had to go and stand in the sun all day, I would just whine.
It's great. You could have a couple of drinks and get in the golf carts and run around and have fun with it, but I'm out on golf. I can't watch it on TV. I hate doing it. I have better luck throwing the golf ball than actually hitting it with the club.
I'm much more into Muggle Quidditch.
All right, in or out on Tiger Woods?
Out.
I'm kind of in on Tiger Woods now, because everybody hates him. So I kind of want him to succeed now.
Of course you would. Move on.
All right. In or out on protein shakes at the gym?
I don't really go to a gym that serves protein shakes.
Well, did you ever have a protein shake at a gym? You've been to
The Rafa Yoga place.
They get all the weird food there.
Oh, yeah. I'm in on that.
Oh, my God.
Because then way, you know, like if you wanted to spend a whole day, you want to eat... Yeah, I'm down. I'm down with it.
I'm out.
Okay.
Out on weird food at weird yoga places.
Okay.
And I'm out on protein shakes at the gym. I'll make my own protein drink. Thank you very much. In or out on hiking.
Totally, and you know I am.
Way out on hiking.
Then why do you come with us?
Because I love you, and I love you more than my hatred of hiking. My love of you and my children outweighs my hatred of hiking.
Oh my gosh, I love hiking.
The problem with hiking is that, like, you just go in places. You don't have a destination. I gotta have a destination.
That's the point, Blake. You can have hikes with destinations. We just don't, because we don't know if we could get to it with the kids.
I'm just saying. When someone says, hey, you want to go for a walk? Like, yeah, I'll go for a walk if I know where I'm going.
Oh, my God. And I recommend that to you. Like, every day you're stressed. I should go for a walk.
I can't just walk. No. If I'm going to a place, I'm all about the walk life.
I'll just send you to CVS.
Go to CVS.
Go get me a York peppermint patty.
And come back and de-stress. All right, in or out on secret handshakes?
Out.
Out, way out on secret. I can't keep up with it.
Me too.
You're doing one thing, I'm trying to do another. What are we doing?
It made me jealous a lot in elementary school. I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have one either.
I'm like, does anyone want to be mine?
I was too much of a dork to have a secret handshake.
I was too excited about insects.
Then you got to like practice it and do the whole, like
not coordinated.
How do you even have that conversation? Like, hey, you want to make a handshake?
What if
now?
You has a, one of you has a smaller hand? Is it, like, do you get hurt?
It's like less leverage.
What if you get knuckle on knuckle?
All right, in or out on having dinner with your kid's teacher?
Totes in.
Oh, way out.
You know I'm in on that.
I know you're in on that. I had to put it in there just for the sake of the conversation.
I've had dinner with my students and their families.
Oh, God, it's so
weird. You want to make
me
dinner? I'm poor and hungry. Once again, I chose poorly in my career. Oh, thank you.
Out, way out. Don't want, just because you're my kid's teacher doesn't mean you're my buddy.
Oh, I was all in.
Oh, all right, in or out on the TMC movie channel. The Turner Movie Classics.
Oh, okay.
Way out.
I'm in.
I'm out. I don't want to see any of the classic movies. Don't want to see them. I want to see movies that are relevant to today. I'll go back as far as like 2001 Space Odyssey.
I did not know this about you.
Well, you learned about bugs and I'm in your...
This explains so much.
All right. In or out. Oh, I know this one too. In or out on David Bowie.
Out. So out. So out. I can't.
I love David Bowie.
David Bowie gave me nightmares for my entire childhood until I was 15 and I went on a band trip. I didn't know who David Bowie was, but I had this nightmare that some creepy man comes in and steals babies and brings you to goblins. Why? Because I watched The Labyrinth when I was 5 and I thought it was a dream that I made up. And then on my band trip, they popped in The Labyrinth and I started to cry on the bus because my nightmare was a movie and the star was David Bowie.
Oh, I love David Bowie. I mean, I get why you don't like David Bowie.
You remind me of the Babe. Oh, send shivers up my spine.
And the fact that we now have a new nickname for Miggy. It's Ziggy Miggy Stardust.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you, Chris Sullivan. Thank you, writers. Thank you, everybody, for that fantabulous nickname. In or out, last one, morning sex with bad breath.
Only if it's quick and you don't talk to me. Reese said it perfectly. Dad, your breath smells like fish.
No, he says your breath smells like fish.
I think he said yours.
No, it was yours. Not mine. Yours.
Whatever. Why does mine smell like fish?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. And I have better oral health than you do.
You do. You do.
I have such good oral health.
Maybe that's why it smells like fish.
Maybe it's like a cod liver pill. Maybe it's like some fish oil in my vitamins.
Oh, my God, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I'll tell him it's because I'm healthy. It's because I'm healthy. Okay.
All right. You ready for a hot take? You got a hot take?
No.
But I do.
You want to know why I don't?
Why?
Because I can't even still fathom what the heck I watched. Buffering. Gotta hurry up with this episode, man.
Okay, we're at an hour too.
An hour? These episodes used to be a half hour.
I know, but we had fun today. What do you want me to do?
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, my hot take for this is something has to tear apart Kevin and Cassidy because there's no way they're gonna have this they're gonna start this and it's gonna be all just fun and games. It's gonna be perfect. It ain't gonna happen.
I'm sorry, but like, what is this level of a heart take? I mean, I know that I'm the one that took calculus, animal veterinary science, and insect class while you slept. But are you serious that you think that this is hot take worthy? That something bad is gonna happen between Kevin and Cassidy's relationship?
All I'm gonna say is you didn't let me finish my sentence.
Continue to boggle our minds.
I wonder if Cassidy now regresses in her AA meetings and starts drinking again, and like how she did with her son, maybe she does something to Kevin that is similar, where she starts drinking, she has these moments, she has like this thing, and she does something to Kevin, and Kevin's like, whoa.
I've got something different for you.
All right, fine, what do you got?
She gets pregnant.
Oh, you think so?
You're welcome.
You think this is when she gets pregnant?
I don't know, but I just...
The timeline would match.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The timeline would match.
You're welcome. Makes me wanna shout. Kevin has a baby at some point.
And the kid is between 10 and 12 years old in the future when Rebecca is her.
Yep.
So... And Kevin has to now, and the way that Elizabeth Berger and Isaac Apteker were talking about it, is like he has to now deal with this.
Listen, and she was rip-raring to go, and she wasn't just talking about getting some booty, so she was probably ovulating at this time. Because, you know, you're not like always rip-raring to go at this age, but when you're ovulating, you sure are. You're like, why am I horny? And then you look at your app, and you're like, oh, that's why.
So yeah. So that's a good one. Good job. Good job, Mary.
Something bad's gonna happen to Kevin and Cassidy.
No. Yeah. I didn't talk like this, number one.
And number two, it got a little bit further than that. It went down a good path.
She might drink.
Man, you suck. You suck.
She might drink.
You suck. That's my bride, ladies and gentlemen.
We need to wrap this up. All right, let's close it out. People are used to half hour and we talk too much.
All right, let's close it out. Ziggy Stardust, baby.
So you're going to do Hootie and the Blowfish for me?
No. I had to do David Bowie.
Look how creepy he is.
David Bowie.
I'm not going to look.
I am all in on David Bowie.
Okay.
I am, like, and it's more and more lately. Like, some people are into Prince, and some people are into David Bowie. They don't really mix. I'm fully in on the David Bowie.
Good for you.
No, you don't think so?
I mean, had I not been traumatized as a child, I could definitely appreciate him as a musician.
Yes.
Listen, guys, I'm afraid of only a couple things in my life. Blood, needles,
and David Bowie. Oh, man. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for all of the reviews. They're coming in. I think we're up to 132 now, which is great. We are the most reviewed This Is Us podcast on the planet, which is great. We would love to continue to keep growing it.
Probably just had the longest episode for the club, too.
Well, people deserve it.
I know. I appreciate. They had to wait.
So, you know, I just want to say thank you very much for everything that you guys do, listening to the
David
podcast,
needs to
subscribing.
Calm down.
I'm turning him down. Listening to the podcast, doing everything you do, interacting with us in the This Is Us 2 group. It's great. And if you want to keep continuing to engage with Mary and I, you can at maryandblake.com or just check us out on all of the amazing social channels that we have, which is Facebook and Twitter, the Gram, YouTube, all of it. It's just Mary and Blake. And you can even email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
That's right.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that you have a super cool deal. A super cool deal for Minute with Mary. 15% off of a makeup stick remover, right?
It's a stick that you rub on your face. Rub on like your eyelashes or your stubborn lipstick, and it melts your makeup like butter, and it doesn't have any harsh chemicals in it, and your face feels amazing.
Yes,
telling
it does.
You guys.
Yes, it does. So are you ready to go watch the next episode now, finally?
Yes.
And I'm not sure if we're going to get another episode done tonight.
Not.
Maybe I can do a little hooky from work tomorrow. What do you think?
No, because on Thursdays we have our 4-year-old. I don't have childcare, man. I'm a stay-at-home, work-from-home mom. We'll figure it out.
We'll get the other
episode.
Maybe
we'll do it tonight after all.
We'll figure this out. We'll see. Well, anyway. Anything else, my love, you got?
That's it. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.